Hey, Diggs, welcome to Dentists in the Know, your backstage pass to current trends, politics, and education in the dental world. We are dentistry's source for honest, relevant information, and with that in mind, this is JB's News on the Go with Dentists in the Know. So introducing to you with all the relevant information, Dr. Jennifer Bell.
All right, team, we've got some big news for you this week, so we'll try to get straight to it. First off, so this topic came up actually in discussion when I was at the AGD's joint council meeting, and we were talking a lot about dental loss ratio. And there is a fair amount of states that have legislation coming up in the next calendar year, just like Massachusetts had in November of last year. And if you don't recall, that was the question two, where they passed an 83% medical loss ratio for dental claims. What that means is that 83% of the income generated by the insurance company should be allocated towards direct patient care. And that could be marketing initiatives. It could be premium and payment increases to providers. It could be allocation towards dental benefit. So that was passed in Massachusetts. It created kind of this swelling up of activity in the U.S. to look at passing similar legislation in other states. So there are quite a few that have it up for vote this year. Well, interestingly enough, the American Dental Association and NADP, which is the National Association of Dental Plans. Yes, many of the dental plans that you take in your office that you are in network with are members of NADP. It is the collective organization that represents a good number of dental plan providers in the U.S. They got together last week and came up with an agreed upon model legislation mediated by NQIL. Yes, another acronym we're going to bring to you tonight. That is the National Coalition of Insurance Legislators. How do you like that? They mostly operate on a state level, but certainly have some involvement on the federal level. They are constantly looking at legislation and how it impacts all insurance providers, not just dental, but medical, life insurance, disability, all gamuts of insurance. So now we're getting you totally in the weeds on this whole dynamic world of insurance. So the ADA and NADP got together last week and came up with an agreed upon language for model legislation for those states and for future states that are looking at dental loss ratio. They're also rephrasing it, dental loss ratio, as opposed to medical loss ratio, to differentiate it from medical insurance. So dental loss ratio model legislation has been published. There's been a whole uproar, not all positive, about what that legislation may look like. I can tell you it won't look much like Massachusetts at 83%. I think it'll be closer to a middle range, somewhere in the 60 to 70%. And it gives a lot of power to the state commissioners to be sort of moderating these dental plans state by state to make sure they're all staying within these certain parameters. And for those who are not complying with the appropriate guidelines or seem to be outliers from what other plans are doing, they will be remediated and potentially asked to no longer provide plans in the state. So that's where we are with dental loss ratio. That's where the model legislation is. I expect to see some of these states look at that model legislation and sort of recraft whatever bill they're proposing to be voted on coming in November. And we certainly have a lot of big players at the table with the ADA, NADP, and NQIL all involved in coming up with what ultimately will be the final legislative, I think probably will be what model legislation will look like moving forward. So this is an interesting development, certainly on the heels of what happened in Massachusetts of last year. And so we're continuing to sort of watch that and see what really comes of it. Another interesting development this week, and it doesn't seem new to me, but maybe it's new to the general population, or maybe the technology is continuing to get better. But there actually was a lot of activity just in the general news media with dentistry and brush biopsy We've seen brush biopsy be available to dental providers for quite some time, but it seems like there's an uptick in enthusiasm and marketing for the brush biopsy so that providers can start to do pre-screening or early screening for oral cancers. I think the technology is continuing to get better so that we can at least start to determine malignant versus non-malignant with a brush biopsy. Of course, then a biopsy would certainly be further indicated for an official diagnosis, but it looks like brush biopsy techniques might be getting more sophisticated in how they're determining whether or not we have a cellular change on an mRNA level, and then whether or not we need to then move forward with a biopsy. That could be really exciting news for providers who want to be able to do early screening and detection for patients, but are not either eager to pick up a scalpel or a punch biopsy, or have some challenges with getting patients referred to the appropriate parties for a official biopsy. So maybe this will be a nice welcome addition to our already very stringent oral cancer screens and examinations that we're providing in our practices on a daily basis. The last piece of interesting news for the week, we're going to see Wisconsin take up new legislation, it looks like by the end of this month, which could be today, to approve a dental aid therapist into their breakdown of individual dental providers within the state. This certainly did open up their Dental Practice Act, so there were a few other items that they were able to change in their Dental Practice Act as well. But most notable, and I think worth mentioning, is that we're now going to see a dental health aid therapist available to be licensed in Wisconsin. There's certainly a lot of discussion around the idea of a dental health aid therapist and could be quite contentious between parties. The biggest issue that I have seen so far is the actual number of programs to educate and license dental health aid therapists doesn't quite meet the need of what these states are asking for. We don't actually have the programming and educational support for these dental health aid therapists to be providing care in the communities. And remember, these DHATs are able to do fillings, extractions, and other what they would determine as easier procedures within the clinical practice. That's always been a little laughable to me because I've definitely opened class twos before that I thought were going to be easy and kicked my rear end all the way home. So, kudos to them if they can discern which ones those are going to be from the get-go. But we're seeing an uptick in states. That's now number 10 or 11, I believe, with dental health aid therapists as a licensed provider in their state. And we haven't quite seen the uptick of education to match the need. And with that, that's the news.
And that wraps up another podcast for Dentists in the Know. On behalf of Dr. Jennifer Bell, Dr. Chad DePlantis, and myself, remember that we've got a great profession. So let's make it a great day, Dinks.